Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to this service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. And we always like to say to you, if you have not been joining us in the Zoom fellowship right after this, we invite you to do so. You can find a link to it in your e-newsletter and your weekly update. If you are not on our mailing list and do not get those two pieces of news that let you know what's going on, you can go to our website, and the website is listed right below. So below this, if you're watching this on YouTube, just click on the Show More, and you'll be able to get the link to our website where you can get the information to join us in the Zoom Fellowship, where you get to hear great music, fellowship with the other Unity people who are part of the service, and also to discuss the lesson if you have questions about it. And, you know, if you find this to be enlightening and, you know, inspiring, we would very much welcome your donations to supporting Unity Center of Light. And again, you can find the different ways of supporting Unity Center of Light by clicking on that same Show More button right below this frame, and it'll give you all the ways that you can support us. And we, you know, we thank you for those donations. So right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach that there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, June the 12th. The key words are pray for others, and the affirmation is, in love and faith, I pray with you. I am honored to pray with others, and I am grateful when others support me in prayer. When praying hearts and minds are joined, the power of prayer is multiplied. My partners in prayer may be in the same room or far away. We may be close friends or strangers. The power of prayer transcends what mere words can express, so we need not even speak the same language. We share the heart's language of love and faith. Although the appearance of sickness, a perception of lack or insufficiency, or interpersonal discord may have prompted us to pray, we set those concerns aside as we say yes to wholeness, yes to abundance and harmonizing love that are blessings in our lives and in every life. The scripture reading is taken from Matthew 18:19, and it reads, "Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are continuing on this journey, the infinite way to courageous living. So we've always been, for the last 5 weeks, we've been doing the infinite way, all right, which we also call the unity way. And each week I've been changing the, I guess that's an adjective, courageous, is that an adjective, sweetie?
Yes.
Changing that adjective. So this week, last week was fearless living, and this week is courageous living. So, you know, as you know, I get a lot of my ideas for my lessons from watching movies and TV. You know, Pam will tell you when we're watching these movies or TV stations or whatever, you know, TV shows, I got a pad right next to where I'm sitting, and I'm constantly writing down, you know, quotes and ideas that come from these different shows. And often the ideas I get are, you know, are not exactly the same as what I saw or heard in the movie, but it stimulates a thought. So in a recent episode, if you're a Star Trek fan and you don't know yet that on Paramount Plus, another streaming service you got to pay for, but on Paramount Plus, they got all these different Star Trek shows going on. and one is called Picard, okay? So the statement that was made that I reconfigured in my mind was, the key to opening the door to the divinity within us is to have the courage to understand what it is within us that is keeping the door closed, okay? So one of the characters in the show used that same idea, but of course I, paraphrased it to make it fit this lesson. So to piggyback on last week's lesson, a lot of what is keeping the door closed is a lack of the courage to confront ourselves. Remember, we talked about that last week. Confront ourselves and determine how we are showing up in the world in comparison to how we can show up when we become courageous enough to tap into and express from the divinity within us. So a big part of this effort is, it's about listening to yourself and feeling what is going on within you. Okay, let me say this again, because we're going to talk a lot about this word feeling. So it's a big part of it is about listening to yourself and feeling what is going on within you until you can determine and expose what it is that's holding you back from opening this door to your indwelling divine self. Okay, now I know that I use the word pronoun you in that sentence I just read or statement I just made. What I'm doing, that applies universally to all of us. So when I say you, it applies universally to all of us. And this is the work that is ours to do, okay? Is to listen to ourselves and then, sort of understand what do we feel about what is going on within us, okay? So as we read in Scripture, Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. So when we're talking about listen and feel, there's a lot of work that's involved in that. So whatever you do, it's saying work at it with all your heart, as if you are working for the Lord, not for human masters. And we're going to explain that. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. In this work, it is your Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. Okay? So the message here is clear about the work that's been referred to in this lesson. For the most part, we have perfected the work that we do for our human masters. Human masters referring to our jobs and all the other endeavors that make up our three-dimensional reality. This what Jesus called this world. Okay, so you got to think about all the things in this world, in your life, that keep you busy. That reference is saying, that we're doing that for the human our human masters or the things that demand our attention, but what are we doing in terms of the inner work that we need to do? And, this world, as a revealing word explains it, it says it's a state of consciousness formed through the belief in the reality of all things external. It leads one to follow standards of living based on human opinions rather than on truth. Okay, so the world is overcome by our denying that it has any power over us and affirming freedom in Christ. So, however, there's so much about the study of truth principles that makes us just want to say, yeah, right. all this stuff is going on in my life. I feel right now it does have power over me, a lot of stuff that we study about this whole spiritual journey just does not compute, especially in comparison to what we are experiencing in our lives. Okay? So there are so many things that we believe do have power over us. And sometimes we just do not know where to begin to apply these principles. Does that make sense? So you said, but I got all these things happening in my life, and right now they've got me under their thumb. They've got me under their power. But as we expressed earlier, the how-to of this process of discernment is to just listen to yourself and feel what is going on within yourself until you can determine and expose what is holding you back from opening the door to your indwelling Christ self. And we're going to talk more about that in terms of how that happens as we go along. And yes, it does not, it does take continuous work. It does take continuous work. you know, when you say, well, how do I go about doing this? It's really by thinking about it all the time. If you keep asking yourself, how do I go about doing this? You will begin to get answers. Okay? The answers may not always make sense at the beginning, but if you keep at it, you know, as I said, work hard, you know, that scripture we read, you know, if you keep at it, it will begin to unfold for you. Matter of fact, we read in Proverbs 14:23, it says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Okay. So these scriptures are saying we have to work at this in order to make this process unfold within us in terms of how do I make that link, open that door to my inner divine self. And in this scripture where it says, you know, mere talk leads to poverty, poverty in this case being a lack of spiritual connection. Okay. But to be real, doing the work to make the divine connection takes a lot of courage. And we look at what we are experiencing and we say, think, say, and feel, this is real. Okay, what I'm going through is real. It has real power over me. How do I see it differently? Because as we all know from experience, fear challenges our courage. Okay. So we might get up in the morning and say, well, I'm going to follow the Lord today. I'm going to follow this spiritual process today. I'm going to affirm good things and stay on focus, and then your world hits. Okay, and as we say, fear challenges our courage. But listen to these words from Nelson Mandela. He said, I learned that courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave person is not one who does not feel afraid, but the one who conquers that fear. And again, Christopher Paolini expressed, he says, without fear, there cannot be courage. Okay? So fear, it sort of enhances our need to step up in courage. Okay? So there are two sides to almost every endeavor in our lives. There's a potential for great faith and courage, and then there's an ever-looming cloud of the possibility of slipping into fear. Okay. Now, the thing that's interesting is fear seems to just come naturally. Stuff happens, and you know that. And when we say fear, remember, there's a whole lot of definitions of how that fear can show up in your life, okay? But it just seems to happen naturally. But courage typically requires a deep dive into ourselves, beyond the surfacing fear. So we have to dive beyond the fear and into the depths of our being, where our courage is waiting for us to embrace it. So the courage is there. He said, where does my courage come from? Well, the courage is there, okay? But it's waiting for us to take that deep dive and embrace that courage that exists under the fear. So we take a deep breath and we embrace the work of discovering what it is within me that's keeping the door closed to my divine self. And I'm hoping that that's making sense, because it's making more and more sense to me as I keep thinking about it and talking about it. So I'm taking this deep breath and embrace the work of discovering what is it within me that's keeping the door closed to my divine self. Why do I cling to my ego self, my perception self, that's so much so that I can't let go in order to tap into my divine self? And as we go about this work, it's helpful to hold on to the words in 1 Corinthians 16:13. It says, the Lord says, I will be your guard. So stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Okay? So metaphorically, for this analogy, surrender and being still act as a mental cleansing that washes away the fear and pride to reveal the underlying love or Christ beneath. Okay, so let me say it again. So we're talking metaphorically, okay? So when you talk about surrender and being still, that process, surrendering, I'm letting go, I'm being still. Stuff is going on, not going to deal with it right now. I'm going to take a moment and just become still and listen. Okay. When you do that, it causes a mental cleansing that washes away the fear and or pride to reveal the underlying love or Christ that is beneath it. Okay. So it may only last for a moment, and all of a sudden the fear rushes back in. But the more we practice doing that, the better we get at staying in that place of peace, regardless of the turmoil that might be going on in our lives. But let's also remember those times when you recognize a different sense of yourself. Now listen carefully. Think about those times when you recognize a different sense of yourself, especially if you've been on this journey for a long time, the spiritual journey for a long time. You recognize this different sense of yourself in relationship to the challenges in your life. Like when you found yourself having the faith and courage to remain calm in a situation that before that would have normally rattled you. Okay, so we do have those periods, and we want to recognize those periods, because by remembering and bringing them up, it helps us to then develop the strength and courage to do this with even greater things that come up in our lives. And this is good, okay? So you do want to recognize your spiritual growth and even support each other when you recognize spiritual growth in each other. But always remember in the process to remain humble. Never get caught up in, you know, the whole idea of, well, I got it now, you know, because I was peaceful in that situation. It's not that way. Always realize that we're just scratching the surface. So as we read, it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where the woman reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. We are just touching the hem of the garment. So to take control of what we project into our lives, we must stop allowing these images to control our mind. That's what I'm trying to get at. Okay, so to take control of what we project into our lives, we must take control of the images we allow to occupy our minds. Okay, and that's what we have to figure out. And you think about how you catch yourself sometime going, why am I thinking about that? You know, it might be some fearful thought or, you know, some thought that's challenging. You say, why am I thinking about that? So an overly simplified statement that makes this point is, if you don't like what's going on in your life, stop holding those images in your mind. If you don't like what's going on in your life, stop holding those images in your mind. For example, if you're holding an image of a disturbing challenge in your life, overlay it with what Jesus said to the storm. Peace, be still. Now, of course, right away, you know, our personal mind says, well, how long do I have to say that? You know, well, until you feel peaceful, right? Notice I said when you feel peaceful, okay? Not when you're thinking peace, it's when you actually feel peace in every fiber of your being. So you're saying peace, be still to these disturbing situations until you feel peaceful. And even when if you catch things on the news, you want to enter into that sense of peace so that you can send out a prayerful thought to all that's concerned and whatever the turmoil is that's going on. So we're continuously creating and supporting or letting go of and collapsing what we're experiencing in our lives. Let me say that again. We're continuously creating and supporting or letting go of and collapsing what we are experiencing in our lives. Okay, so we're either holding it up in our minds and so it'll continue, or we're letting go of it so that it collapses and goes away. Okay, for example, scientists say that the air inside of a vase takes on the shape of the vase automatically. If it were possible to withdraw the air entirely from the vase and create a perfect vacuum, the vase would collapse. Now, applying this illustration to the challenges in our lives, if we could develop the spiritual control to remove our fearful negative thought energy from the negatively, that comes from the negatively challenging situations that are in our lives, if we could just remove the thought, all that energy out of our mind about something negative and challenging that's going on in our lives, that situation would collapse. Okay. So as long as we are, our perceptions remain within the challenging condition, as long as our perceptions remain in the challenging conditions, that we're going through, our thoughts take on the shape of those conditions and the circumstance or relationships, supporting them and keeping them alive and active according to the nature of our thought about them. Okay. This probably is another concept of the law of mind action. Right? So again, it's a process where we have to hear this and then practice it. Okay. Now, so our oversimplification of this truth principle is, if you don't want it in your life, stop supporting it with your thoughts and feelings and emotions, especially your feelings and emotions. And if you do want it in your life, start supporting it with your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Okay? And yes, again, I acknowledge this is easier said than done, but listen to how Neville Goddard explains it, and this is what he says. He says, feelings create conditions, not the other way around. Conditions are born from the vibrations you hold within. Things come into your life that are a match to your inner consciousness. Therefore, you are in complete control. So the things are coming into our lives that match what is in our consciousness. We're in control. All you have to do is feel now how you desire to feel and not the other way around. This is how you change your personal inner world. Okay. So again, I recognize that in so many ways, this is easier said than done. Now I'll tell you about something Pamela and I do. We have this practice that we continuously do all throughout the day, okay, or whenever. And what we're doing, when we're doing things we actually love and experiencing life the way we want to experience it, and a lot of times it's little things, okay? It could be little things like just having a day to just do what we want with no obligation to do anything that's work-related, okay? We will acknowledge this is the life that we want. And we say it out loud. This is the life we want. It's an exclamatory prayer, and it's an exclamatory prayer. We are exclaiming that, that we put this out into the universe, and we say it with feeling, and we say it with gusto, okay? All right? And we do it all the time. It's simple and direct. And when we're involved in something that we don't want, we look at each other and almost laugh and says, no, we don't want this in our life, okay? We don't use any fancy words because no fancy words are needed. Just harmonious feelings emanating from both of us into the ethers of heaven saying, God, this is the life that we want. And if you're feeling like what you are going through is too challenging to practice this spiritual stuff, again, as you've heard Pamela and I's stories about things we've been through in the 56 years we've been together. Okay, you heard us talk about the tough times we've been through. So we know it is not always easy. But Martin Luther King gave us all a strategy for moving forward in tough times, no matter where you are. And he says, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. And if you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. Okay? So, that's what we're saying. The work is not easy, but you have to keep at it. And so often we can feel burdened down by life's challenges. But in the words of author Susan Gale, she says the majority, we can feel burdened down, but she says the majority of the baggage that weighs us down, we pack that baggage ourselves. Right? Okay, we're complaining about all the baggage in our lives, but we packed it ourselves. And we typically have been packing emotional baggage onto ourselves over the many years of our lifetimes. So typically we've been doing also without knowing it. So this is the whole thing about what is happening. If you've been studying truth for a long time, all of us have been going through levels of awakening, not big jumps, okay, but we've been going through levels of awakening, okay? And we're getting to a point where we begin to know that thoughts, feelings, and emotions have an impact on the outcomes in our lives. So we are waking up to that process. And this is basically because we came into new thought, before we came in, we didn't know any different. But now we know different, Okay? So an affirmation we can use to unpack some of the baggage we carry is, I release the heaviness in my mind and lighten the load of my life. Let me say that again for note takers. I release the heaviness in my mind and lighten the load of my life. Okay? So it takes courage to live the spiritual life, probably because it is so different and requires a whole new thought process from the way we have been thinking. So the definition of courage is the ability to do something that frightens you. The definition of courage is the ability to do something that frightens you. So one of the main reasons why living the spiritual life may seem so challenging is because we're trying to use our present way of thinking to maneuver ourselves through the spiritual process. When the process doesn't call for our intellectual mind to think, rather it calls for our mind to be still and feel after God. Now listen to what I said, and feel after God, okay? So as it is written in Acts 17, 27, so that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after God and find God, even though God is not far from each of us, so that they may seek God in the hope that they might feel after God and find God, even though God is not far from us. Okay? So every challenge and encounter in life offers us the opportunity to be still and feel after God. In other words, in every situation, take a moment to be still and feel that there are possibilities here that are beyond what I presently am aware of. Taking a moment to feel that there are possibilities here that are beyond what I'm aware of, okay? Maybe even beyond what I'm presently able to comprehend. However, and this is important, as the scripture just explained, there is a mind, a divine mind, available to each of us that transcends the limitations of our perceived mind, but not our feeling nature. Let me say that again, okay? There is available to us a mind, a divine mind, okay? It's available to each one of us, and it transcends the limitations of our perceived mind, our intellectual mind, our mind that thinks it knows. Okay, so it goes beyond that. We have no idea. But this divine mind does not go beyond our feeling nature. You see, we are now at the crossroads of a difficult choice and dilemma. Do we continue using our mind as we have been, sort of like a firefighter? Our mind is like a firefighter, dousing the fires of our lives with watered down divine ideas, okay? Or do we surrender ourselves to God mind, where our mind becomes the instrument through which pure, unadulterated divine ideas are allowed to flow into the circumstances and relationships in our lives, okay? So it's not that we know exactly what is, you know, you be still and know, and we always say, well, I don't know, okay? So it's not exactly that. We're talking about feeling now. So when you can feel after God, you can feel God is there working in your life, that feeling transcends your intellectual mind and wants to know, okay? And so as we read in the Synoptic Study of the Teachings of Unity, it says, we begin to see that our thoughts in themselves are the offsprings of divine ideas. And if we were capable of sending them forth in their original pure state, our lives would be the effect of a perfect cause. Okay? So let me just say that again. Our lives would be the effect of a perfect cause. Now, perfect cause being God. So God is first cause. First cause, meaning that which is the origin from which everything originally flows. So this statement is explaining that if we could truly be open to God's living spirit of truth flowing through us, unadulterated by our perceptions, These pure divine ideas would have a perfect effect in our lives. Okay? So the typical mode of the ego mind is to color God thought with its own perceptions. We color God thought with our own perceptions. I find this a lot when I'm trying to write the Sunday lesson. I'm wanting to write something, and in my mind it's saying, don't write that, write this. And I'm saying, but I like what I'm getting ready to write. And I've gotten to a point where I realize that just because I like what I'm getting ready to write has nothing to do with this inspiration that's coming through me. It says, no, this is what you need to write. So that's what I'm talking about, is you get this feeling. I know everyone listening to this has had that, where you get this intuitive energy that says, no, this, do this, okay? But the typical mode of the ego mind is it's a color God thought with its own perception. This is especially true when we're fearful, angry, or somehow emotionally hurting, or when we are prideful, boastful, full of ourselves. We color God thought with our perception of what we believe is real. So even though there is pure God thought coming into our mind, and listen to this, pure God thought coming into our mind, what projects out of our mind is usually colored by our emotions and perceptions. That is the purpose of taking time to feel after God. And I know everyone has felt that feeling. Everyone has felt that feeling that there is something divine going on, but we may not have followed that inclination. Because there's an inclination that comes into your mind, a first thought, okay? And I know that Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know, but it is the knowing that we struggle with, asking ourselves, was that God or was that me? So that knowing has been a problem for us. You know, how do I know if it's me or if it's God? So what I'm proposing is that even though we may not be able to decipher the knowing when we become still, we can come to know what we feel. And we have most likely said at one time or another in our lives, I know what I feel. Have you ever had that happen? You know, Pam, you've said that to me. So we said to each other, I know what I feel. Okay? So our affectual nature, exposes us to unconscious wisdom that we are divinely programmed to feel even before we know what it is we're feeling. So let me say it again. Our effectual nature exposes us to unconscious wisdom that we are divinely programmed to feel even before we know what it is we're feeling. So this is the divine touching you from the depth within you, letting you know that there is another wisdom that transcends your conscious wisdom. Okay? Another wisdom that transcends your conscious wisdom. And it's alerting you to be still and allow this unconscious wisdom to become conscious within you. And yes, to be still and open, you know, open your feeling nature and just listen, it does take courage to become still and just open yourself, open your feeling nature and just listen. It does take courage. But in the words of Amelia Earhart, this is what she says, courage is a price the life exacts for granting peace. Okay? And in the words of Emma Donahue, she's an Irish-Canadian playwright. She said, scared is what you are feeling. Brave is what you are doing. So, and we're going to end with this to think about. As we all know, life can be really just challenging sometimes. So tough, you wonder how you're going to make it. And you can wonder to yourself during those times, where is God in all of this? Where is God when I need to be comforted, supported, given the courage to keep moving forward? Well, I combined a quote, which I do a lot, from Allen Ginsberg and Ernest Holmes. And it gives us this piece of wisdom to think about when we're wondering, where is God in this whole thing? And it says, everything is holy. Everybody is holy. Everywhere is holy. Everyone is an angel. To know this, be in holy communion by entering to conscious union with the essence of all things. And so it is. Amen. All right, and now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, find yourself in a really comfortable space and prepare now to take in 3 deep cleansing breaths. As you do and as you exhale, exhale them fully. Don't rush, just let the breaths flow. Feel your body begin to relax even deeper now as you allow the Spirit of God to help restore your natural balance. What is courage? Is it the ability to do something that frightens us? Strength in the face of pain or grief? Is it the choice and willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, and intimidation? Bravery in physical pain, hardship, even death, or the threat of death? Well, it is all of the above. So if you're having any of the aforementioned feelings, I want you to listen to my words and take them as your very own. Maybe you have prayed these words when you have felt alone. All-powerful God within, I know you are in control. Despite this, I am often fearful and concerned about the future. I pray that your presence helps me to throw away my fear. Give me courage and strength. Remind me to look inside for courage and strength. I ask and give thanks that your presence will bind the pain and fear that has taken hold of me, restore my heart, courage, and determination, so that I may swim through the grief and seas of uncertainty. As I head towards the golden island of tomorrow, healing waters will restore my body and spirit. With your help, God, I will rekindle the memories of who you created me to be. I am never alone and never separate from you. I will keep on keeping on. And now please take some more deep breaths in and out, and we'll make our way to the secret place of the Most High, our place of peace, love, joy, and faith, a place we may enter into at any time. As we get close to the threshold of the door, we realize before we may enter, we must release and let go. So if you have emotional baggage, physical baggage, mental baggage, allow it all to pass away. Enter into that secret place and take a seat. As you do, you feel the light and love, the presence of God washing over you, healing and restoring your body, your mind, and your affairs. And so now take this time to go into prayer, receive answers to your prayer, and to become even more still. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning and answered them as you always do. Thank you for your guidance this upcoming week in all that we think, say, and do. We do give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. So when you are ready, come back to your Unity family and to your surroundings.
Thank you. That was wonderful. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. And as I said in the beginning, we are truly grateful for all of the donations that you send to support Unity Center of Light. And if you didn't hear the opening, please be aware that if you send yourself, I really would like to support Unity, I don't know how to. If you're watching this on YouTube, just click on the Show More button below this frame, and you can see all the ways that you can donate to Unity. And again, we thank you in advance for all of your wonderful donations. So we ask you now to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. And now we have Light Notes with Pamela. The Book Light Book Club will meet today at 1 p.m. Please check your e-newsletter and updates for the link. Next Sunday, the 19th, which is our Summer Music Sunday, and of course it's also Father's Day, we hope you will enjoy the music of Safi and the duo called Quiet the Mountain. Invite a friend to watch on YouTube and join us in Zoom. The Cape and Springs Fall Retreat is coming up on September the 9th through the 11th. And if you'd like to join with us in celebrating our return to Cape, and please check the fillable form in your updates and e-newsletter. We would love to have you join us. We are having our first in-person Sunday service on Sunday, July the 10th at 10:30 a.m. We will be at our usual place in the Ken Hill Center in Bowie. Now, this is an experiment, so to speak, to get an idea of how many of you are wanting to come back in person. So right now we are planning on the first Sunday of each month, and because we're having the one in July on the 10th due to the July 4th holiday weekend. So join us on July the 10th. We're looking forward to seeing you. And in the months of July, August, and September, we have a lot of interesting guest speakers, and you won't want to miss any of them, so be sure to tune in. That's it for the Light Notes.
Okay. All right, so you know what time it is now, right?
I know what time it is. I know what time it is. It is time to bless the path that we will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right, and let's go right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well, and that's the truth.
All right. So, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure to bring this service to you from Unity Center of Light here in Bowie, Maryland. And if you join us in Zoom, we sure look forward to seeing you there for our fellowship right after this. Otherwise, wish you a very happy and wonderful, safe week ahead. See you soon.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.